Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Time for Tell Me Why with Graeme Finlay. If you have a question for Graeme, you can send it into afternoon@newstalk.com. Today's question: why are some people vegetarian or vegan, and what is the history of that? Graeme, good afternoon
to you.
Good
afternoon.
Is your old friend Peter Singer going to come into this discussion?
He could.
Yes.
There's so many different ways in which you could answer this question. We need like four slots. And one might be way of looking at this is there are a lot of people out there who really want to eat meat and are looking for justifications. And now on that argument, the vegans kind of have the edge.
Looking at it.
On the other hand, vegans often make claims about, you know, how it's not really natural for us to eat meat, and that's not strictly true either. So there's the, you know, the history of veganism. How natural a diet is it? There's the question of, you know, when did people start being vegans and vegetarians? And then, of course, moral reasons to be vegan or not.
Yeah. It actually begs the question, what does natural mean?
Indeed. And that actually is a good inroad into the, you know, the question, because, you know, a lot of people are interested in a Paleolithic diet these days. Mm. But, you know, Paleolithic diets varied tremendously. So if you want to go back to our ancestors and see what they ate, instead of going to people ranging, you know, human beings who were hunter-gatherers, you should probably go to the apes and the great apes. And this is good news for the vegans. And in fact, they have lovely charts, which I might tweet out, about all the many ways in which resemble chimpanzees, say, right, who mostly and almost entirely eat fruits and nuts. But, you know, when they go for meat, they might sometimes spectacularly and horribly kill a small monkey and eat it.
Yeah.
But that's a really extreme situation. It would be insects. So if you really want to eat a lot of meat, but want to eat the way our ancestors did, bugs.
Okay.
There you go. Bug diet. Yeah. Also, bugs are very sustainable and are serious food sources in many parts of the world. That, you know, seems to suggest that a vegan diet or an almost meat-free diet is the most appropriate one. Of course, there are lots and lots of safe vegan diets which are suitable for... Now, there's a bit of a dispute, but people of almost any age, you know, people who might have certain kind of conditions, and there's a bit of a debate surrounding pregnant women over whether a vegan diet is suitable. But the UK and the US have all said, yes, no, veganism's fine for that. The Germans, perhaps because of their love of spreading bacon fat on stuff, have suggested that pregnant women might not want to go for a vegan diet. The one thing is, if you are going to go vegan, and so many people are, maybe you've seen the big Go Vegan billboards around town, which turned out to be all from a vegan animal sanctuary in Slane, County Meath. Who knew? But anyway... you know, if you want to go vegan, you just got to make sure you get protein, lots of tofu, lentils, and B12, the vitamin B12, because that's really crucial to brain health and functioning.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to get that out of non-meat sources. So you might want to take supplements or, you know, work very hard to max out those B12, sources of B12.
Doesn't that imply then that historically people weren't vegans because there weren't B12 tablets available in the Paleolithic period, for instance?
An excellent point. And so when the carnivores come rushing back in saying, oh, ho, 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 and this is the complex story. So they've gone and taken a look at the diets of various people who are hunter-gatherers, both historically and currently. So they go talk to people in the Amazonian rainforest and so forth, you know, who don't have agriculture for various reasons. You know, the Inuit, for example, don't have agriculture because it's frozen most of the time. And, you know, it's just a very inhospitable place for growing stuff. You know, so you've got to pick your hunter-gatherers, basically. I mean, some of them, if you're in the Amazonian rainforest, eat up to 70 or 80% of their food as fruits, berries, plants of some kind. And whereas the Inuit, their diet was something like 99% meat. It was, you know, and so the funny thing is, you know, these hunter-gatherers, they all like meat, right? It's very, very, there's a wonderful article on the National Geographic about how, you know, that I hope my husband brings back meat tonight, you know, because the children are sad when there's no meat, right? which is interesting. But the, you know, all of these diets are actually quite healthy. And can be perfectly serviceable, and they don't lead to all sorts of horrible diseases which you get from eating too much meat, or which are correlated with eating too much meat.
Yeah.
Because people's guts and you know, sort of bodies adjust over hundreds of thousands of years to the food you have, right? So some Japanese people have a gene which allows them to digest seaweed more easily. In other parts of the world, you know, where we are, people develop this extremely bizarre ability to digest milk, which is not normally the case. You can't normally digest another species' milk unless you have the mutation, which most of us have, but not all of us.
Right? Well, I think it's kind of, I think Northern Europeans tend to have it more than, like, Italians don't have much of it at all because there's no, that, you know, they don't drink milk as much as we would.
Yeah, again, it's funny, you know, different parts of the same continent, right, will have very different things. Apparently, in West Africa, there just isn't this tradition of drinking a lot of milk. And so people digest milk less well there as well, right? Mm. So the main point is all of these diets can become perfectly serviceable and people have been able to survive. Now, you know, for much of this time, these people didn't live that long anyway.
Yeah.
So we don't really know what the effects on their health would have been, you know, if they'd lived to 70 or 80, as we're finding in China. So China, people have historically put a little bit of meat on stuff. But of course, many people and the vast majority of people would have been quite poor and would have had meat not every day, not because they didn't want meat every day, but because they couldn't afford it. The same thing was true here, but from what I understand, is that the poor people of Ireland would not have expected to eat meat every day.
Yeah.
And so, as happened in Ireland and as is happening in China, when people have enough money to buy meat every day, boy, do they go and buy a lot of meat, right? And so we're seeing in the Chinese population the diseases of the rich and the diseases of older people where they're living longer, but they're also getting things like cancer and, you know, high cholesterol and certain kinds of heart disease. So, and all these things that bring us back to the vegans who say, you know, if you give up all this meat, you'll, you know, live a lot healthier of a life. You'll have a lower body mass index, which is true. You will be less fat. You'll be less liable to get type 2 diabetes or, you know, and so forth. Because vegans definitely have the lowest body mass of any group they've studied.
Okay.
So to go back to them. But of course, you know, what really did for people like the Inuit and the Yakut people of Siberia is not meat, they're eating loads of meat, but it was sort of sugar, fat, and processed meat. Right. Mm. So when people come along to, it seems like just about anybody in the world, this has been replicated in many, many cultures, and say, you know, you could deep fry that and then put sugar on top. Everybody pretty much says, yeah, that's a great idea. and so, you know, the battered sausage is sort of what everybody wants. And so you see a massive increase in obesity and heart disease and really, really problematic. So it's the processed food, so-called sort of wealthy Western diet, which seems to be the least healthy. Now, so one more for the vegans. Curiously, veganism isn't going to solve all your problems. In terms of mortality, the people who live the longest are people who eat fish and lots of plants.
Right.
So, and the vegans don't want you to eat fish either. Right.
Okay. All right. So so essentially what we could take from all that is that your body, well, bodies over time will adjust to pretty much any diet.
Pretty much.
Really, anyway. And my impression from hunter-gatherers is that they didn't eat that much meat because it was hard to catch.
Yeah. It is very hard. I mean, there are all these stories. I mean, everyone's sort of making stuff up, and that's why they went to talk to actual hunter-gatherers. I mean, some people thought that they were killing mammoths every other day.
Or, yes.
I mean, there is this great place in southern Alberta, which I've been to, and I recommend to you all, which is Head Smashed In Buffalo Jump. Go there just for the name. But it does what it says on the tin. It was a place where they used to drive tons and tons of buffalo over a cliff where their heads would be smashed in. You know, if you can stampede a herd of buffalo over a cliff, you're going to have a lot of meat to store away for the winter.
Okay.
Which they did
effective.
In the form of pemmican. But in any case, yes. So for the most part, people now who are hunter-gatherers and people historically have lived off the vast majority of their food has been plant food. And you see that again. If you look at poor people in poor parts of the world, the vast bulk of their food is plant. Often sometimes it's actually sort of grains, millet, rice, and so forth. But that's still plant food.
But the main reason, I suppose, for many people for vegetarianism is that of animal cruelty.
Exactly.
Now, be that the way that animals are dispatched or that they're dispatched at all.
Yes, and that actually is where, as you said, Peter Singer versus a more rights-based approach might come in. I think it's people, there's lots of criticism of, you know, suggesting that vegans will backslide. And in my own personal experience, I've found that people who are fixated and really have a lively sense that something died to make this, or that something was raised in appalling conditions. And so, you know, have a very good reason and are able to stick to a vegan lifestyle. Mm. So again, if you're Peter Singer, it's because animals can feel pain and suffering, and that's unnecessary. And we actually prioritize even our just desire to have beef jerky or something like that over the death and suffering of an animal, which he describes as speciesism, akin to racism, you know, treating other people's interests in not suffering as completely unimportant compared to our own.
Right? Yeah.
You know? On the other hand, a lot of people have found Singer's argument wanting, because, if you know, and he even concedes in his arguments for animal liberation, as he calls it, that sort of if we could sneak up on an animal so it doesn't, you know, suffer and, you know, use some extremely humane form of slaughtering, that might be ethically okay. Because for Singer, as a sort of utilitarian of a certain sort, it's the suffering which counts and not, you know, whether an animal is alive or not. That's why I'm not even going to go there. He has different views about infanticide than some other people.
You didn't see it coming argument justifies all sorts of horrible things.
Yeah, and he's been accused of all sorts of things he's not actually in favor of. But that is another question, perhaps best left till June.
Yeah.
But in any case, so some people like Tom Regan, or there's a guy called Francione who... or probably he's American, so it's Francione or something like that. But Tom Regan was the great theorist of animal rights, which is the idea that animals aren't just potentially sufferers, but they're actually subjects of a life. You know, they have lives to live. They're smarter than we think. And it's true. Pigs are a lot smarter than dogs, say, dolphins, et cetera. You know, animals have lives. And there's a lot of debates over whether animals, you know, first of all, what is the marker of being a sort of person or a subject of a life? Is it consciousness? Is it sort of the ability to commit oneself to, I mean, and these debates go back and forth. But he sees animals, say a cow who's had a calf, which is being taken away from her so that we can drink her milk, right? Is the cow the subject of a life? And people who are in favor of animal rights would see that as a crucial sort of argument. Other people, like Francione, I'm going to call him, see it as akin to slavery. Like the problem is actually the legal right to own another creature, which he sees as analogous to chattel slavery. And so there are all sorts of different arguments surrounding what's wrong with cruelty. But I think also from this is a sort of visceral sense of what is being done in our name so that we can have cheeseburgers.
Right. Okay. Also, there's an argument that it's better for the planet.
Yes. And this is actually a very hard one for me as an omnivore and a person who teaches international justice for his day job to really reconcile, because there are, I mean, now Irish farmers will perhaps call in like now saying that Irish beef agriculture and maybe particularly milk-based agriculture is much, much lower emissions than some other forms of production. Most of the claims you see about how it takes 2,400 gallons of water to produce a pound of beef, how it takes 10 times the energy to produce a calorie of meat than a calorie of soy-based or a plant-based protein. Irish people are trying to address both the emissions problem, which is a huge factor. Ireland has the highest percentage of its emissions in the European Union, which are coming from agriculture, because we do have a very high level of animal-based agriculture. Mm. On the other hand, they're feeding seaweed to cows so that hopefully their methane emissions will reduce. And so by and large, though, I was looking at the Chagas statistics just now. It's really hard to get away from the idea that, you know, animal protein, animal calories, animal food just takes a huge amount more water.
Yeah.
It takes a huge amount more other forms of grain because you got to feed it to the animals, and as opposed to some kind of plant-based diet. Now, some animals like the pig, we've talked about this before, are much more efficient converters of water and energy to meat, but about a third of that of a cow. Beef really comes in for a bit of a kicking here, frankly. But, you know, so between that and the fact that there are difficulties distributing food. We produce enough food for 10 billion people, and there's only 7 billion people on the planet. But it's largely a problem of distribution. So while some people are malnourished and hungry, and these are different things, animals are eating, you know, up to 50% of the grain which is produced in the United States, for example. So, yeah. So the global justice case is a hard one to avoid. Now, I do it, in case you're wondering, by being willing to pay the full cost of my meat in terms of emissions, energy, miles.
But doesn't
consumption
that mean a burger it costs $300 or
well,
something?
Well, I'm prepared
like
to find out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's we'll come back and report back to us. Something to offend everyone there, Graham. Thank you. Thanks a million, Graham. Finley there. We're going to take a break. After that, the complicated life of Enzo Ferrari.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.